Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi. Covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad, along with Robbie Falk from 24/7 Sports, give you an inside look at the Bulldogs on the field, the court, and the diamond. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us. Supertalk.fm or wherever it is you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru here at Strange Brew Coffee House in Starkville or at Brupolo over there in Tupelo. Sort of weird if Brupolo was in Holka. That would be an interesting spot. Home of the one and only Will East, though.
That's the home of my grandmother.
Well, there you go. It's a fine town with fine people.
That's right.
So wherever you live in our great state or in this great country, you can get a Strange Brew Coffee delivered right to your door. Just go to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com, and you can get Strange Brew Coffee for whatever kind of coffee machine you've got in your home right there, including the super awesome K-Cups. And, of course, if you're lucky enough to be in Starkville or in Tupelo, don't forget that Strange Brew Coffee is not just coffee, man. They have got fantastic baked goods. You can get a full breakfast there, be it savory or sweet, whatever you're looking for. They've got it at Strange Brew Coffee House. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com. That's the place to find maroon and white merchandise you can't find just anywhere else. That's because only College Corner has the biggest and best selection of it in central Mississippi. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area. They're in Ridgeland by Fleet Feet. They're in Flowood by the Half Shell. Or you can always shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Humble Taco today, as we're listening, would be Taco Tuesday. Now, they say that every day can be Taco Tuesday, but Taco Tuesday is best done on Tuesdays, and that's best done at Humble Taco because nobody else has tacos like Humble Taco. When you're looking for something different, something delicious, when you're looking for Mexican fare with Mississippi roots, that's the place to go. It's Humble Taco over there on University Drive. What's today's name? I didn't catch it at Firehouse Subs. I hope you followed him on Twitter because it could be your, you know, it could be like Game of Thrones. It could be your name day, hopefully without all the death. In fact, there won't be any death. There'll be just a delicious sandwich when you use the Firehouse Subs app. Place your order online, pick it up within minutes. Who's ever said that, by the way? Has there ever been an ad that said there won't be any death, but there will be a delicious sandwich? We might have been the first. Might have made a little history right here on Thunder and Lightning. Anyway, download the app. Get a sandwich ordered, pile up the reward points. It's all good with Firehouse Subs. Locations in Starkville and Oxford, Columbus and Tupelo, Floyd and Madison. That's Firehouse Subs. Hey, Robbie.
Hey, Brian.
How are you today?
Oh, I'm fine.
So before we get started here, we were talking, and you were at your grandmother's house, or grandma was fixing you some food, and she's just loading you up, and you said there was chocolate pie?
Okay, so here's the thing. I'm getting ready to build a house, mm-hmm. and a little inside baseball here on my life.
Yeah,
I'm building a house on my family land that's in Choctaw County, mm-hmm. and right across the street, I'm living in a house. It's a nice house, nice big house that my grandmother has been living in by herself for the last few years, and so. You know, I'm living here, taking care of her. She's taking care of us and all that. So just about every day I get, I can hear her coming to the door and peeking her head in. Do you want me to fix you some lunch? And when grandmama says, do you want me to fix you some lunch?
The answer is yes.
You cannot say no. And secondly, you don't want to say no.
Right.
You want to eat whatever she's fixing. She doesn't eat as much anymore, but she will gladly fix you a feast if you're up for it. She buys most of the groceries that she buys, she doesn't even use. So, you know, I go in there, I get a tomato sandwich, some popcorn chicken, you know, the chicken, we finish up the chicken and she wants to make more. And of course you can't say no to that. So you eat more chicken and then she gives you chocolate pie And she says, well, it's low fat, so you can have it. So there we go.
So my grandmother.
And then she's created some kind of mayonnaise spread that was just incredible. I don't know where it came from, but it has some kind of salsa mix in it or something.
Oh, my.
I don't know. It was some kind of like Chipotle ranch type mayonnaise, and it was really good.
My grandmother used to always have a box of Eskimo pies, which is old school, man. Nobody has Eskimo pies anymore. And she would always be like, Brian, you should go eat one. They're fat free.
Oh.
And I'd go eat one. And then you look at the box. It's like, Mamaw, it's sugar free. It's not fat free.
Well, and you might not have diabetes, at least.
Well, I don't. So she was also like, oh, we've got a Coke in the fridge. And it was always a Diet Coke. And I'm like, that's not a Coke, Mamaw. That's a Diet Coke. So.
Yeah. And, you know, we always have to eat dessert after we finish, so she keeps ice cream bars in the refrigerator. And
are the old school, like my especially my grandmother, and if Stephen Augustinelli's listening, his mom and dad were the gallon bucket of ice cream.
Yes,
I mean that
we used to have that.
Yeah, no, nobody knows what that's like anymore, to have that big plastic bucket of ice cream sitting in your fridge.
At my other grandparents' house, when I would go there after lunch, I would get the chocolate ice cream bar that was like the crunch.
Yes.
The crunch shell.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
So here you have the old reliable ice cream bar with the chocolate ice cream. The
Eskimo pie is what it basically.
Yeah. I go through those.
This was chocolate pie, like a chocolate cream pie that your grandmother made today.
Yes. And she said it was a little fat free. It was the whip was low fat. So that's what she considered. It's kind of like your grandmother, like it's low fat, but it still had all the sugars and everything in it that makes a pie so good.
Sounds fantastic.
I'm looking forward to the summer because I'm going to get the old school BLTs.
Mm.
Did
your grandmother grow the tomatoes?
No.
Okay. Not anymore. Okay.
Back in the day. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But
She's 90 years old now. I mean, she's
not. Yeah.
The past few years, my wife and I have had tomato plants. We tried, the last 3 years, we did a raised bed garden, and then we did, you know, just a regular garden where we tilled the ground. And then last year, we put the tomatoes in the buckets. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, with this year we haven't planted anything, but you know, you can go get some good tomatoes from the Piggly Wiggly up here.
There you go.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to the summer, and you know, I always loved a good tuna salad.
Oh no.
Summer tuna salad? No. This is amazing. The tuna, the boiled egg. Some pickles, mayonnaise, a little mustard in there.
You literally listed off like five things I don't want to eat. I'm sorry. I can't healthy, get by with you on this one. I can't.
Really healthy. It's a good healthy lunch. It fills you up too.
Mayonnaise, super healthy. You're right.
Well, you can get some low fat mayonnaise if you want it.
I guess. I feel like this discussion is far more interesting than any MSU discussion we could bring to the table today.
Well, like, neither one of us really know what we're going to talk about today.
I feel like we could do the whole show on like how we used to eat in the old days, like some old school products and some good country cooking.
Oh, we could.
We could eat.
I'm down with that. You know, my summers at my grandparents on both sides were just amazing.
Yeah.
Every single morning at my granddad and my grandmom's house in Eupora, I would go there for like a week.
Yeah.
Every morning, my granddad would make me like two or three eggs, fried eggs, on top of a biscuit covered in grits. And it was all just mixed together, and it seems nasty, but that plate of just glop, the pig trough, was amazing. And then at nighttime, we'd have, you know, pork chops and rice and gravy, and that was always one of my favorite meals.
Love rice and gravy. Very underrated. My grandfather made pork biscuits chops on the weekend. Oh, yeah. And only the male grandchildren knew the secret of Papaw's biscuit recipe. Would you like to know what it is? I'll share it with the world. two sticks of butter.
Of course.
We don't just put one stick of butter in there. It's two sticks. Those things, were they would just melt in your mouth. So good. Easily the best biscuits I've ever had. And what started me on my path as a biscuit connoisseur.
Well, here's the thing. You know, Mississippi is always going to be first or second to, well, I guess they'll be first or second in obesity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's perfectly fine. But we're also going to be number one in food.
Yeah.
Our food is going to taste better than everyone else.
I agree.
Because we know what makes it taste good. If it's an extra stick of butter,
so be it. So be it.
We're not going to have a meal that doesn't taste good. So just make it happen.
But I make grits. Whole stick of butter.
Oh, God. Yeah, you got to put the butter in the grits.
Yeah, that's just the way it is.
There's got to be butter and grits.
Let's try to do some sports here.
Do we have to?
A little. So we are 1 week away. This podcast next Tuesday, we will discuss our first SEC preview. We'll be 14 weeks out. It's 14 schools. You know, we finish with Ole Miss and then Mississippi State. So,
we'll also be, Brian, a year old as this version of Thunder and Lightning.
Oh, is our 1 year anniversary? Is it next week?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess. Because you know we had the SEC tournament was when we announced you. We had the.
It's either next week or the next. I can't remember, but we're getting close.
Yeah. I mean, I remember you coming on the big show with us.
Yeah.
1 year
old. One year old.
300 some odd episodes, or close to it, anyway. Anyway, I say that to say that I thought today we let's get a little head start on SEC Media Days, which is, gosh, as we're sitting here, 2 months away from this week. So 2 months from today, I believe, yeah, we'll be starting up in Atlanta for SEC Media Days. State is on Tuesday. Of that week. I got to figure some things out, by the way. Dynamite is in Duluth, Georgia that Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try to go. So, but I got to get Richard on board to, like, we need to pre-record a bunch of interviews so that I can leave early. But I want to go. So hopefully I can make that happen. I thought today, though, get to it eventually, we just sort of go ahead and give like an overview. Let's do a two-month early, that's actually, you know, a month and a half early preview of how we're going to do our predictions. Maybe we'll talk about the all SEC team a little bit, what Bulldogs could find their way onto that. So obviously in first place in the divisions, I think we're both going to go Bama, Georgia, correct? I mean, you don't have anything crazy planned, do you?
No, I was just checking to see how far you would be from Duluth. You're about 40 minutes.
So I texted Barrett Salih, who lives in Atlanta, and I was like, can I make this drive in an hour? If I leave at 7, could I be in Duluth at 8? He's like, you can probably do that. He's like, if you try to do it at rush hour, you got no chance to be there in an hour.
Well, it's going to be right around rush hour.
Well, if it's 7, rush hour should be starting to die down a little bit, don't you think?
Well, yeah, you're right, because you'll be on Eastern time.
Right. And if I leave
early. Well, if you leave at 6:30, you should be good.
Should be good. Yeah. We'll figure that out. Anyway, who's your second place team in the West? I feel like that's sort of up for grabs. Or are you locked in on A&M?
I cannot trust A&M. I know they just had the number one recruiting class like ever, but they haven't done anything to prove themselves to anybody to have any kind of hope in them. I feel like Ole Miss has some pieces that they could be a sneaky pick, but the quarterback situation is kind of scary for them. You know, all those pieces don't really matter if Jackson Dart can't do anything, you know?
Oh, you think it's going to be Dart?
I mean, I think he's the highest ceiling. I think Luke Altmyer is a safe pick for them, but Dart is the guy that I think could have them competing for an SEC championship if he is what he's supposed to be, which why he got some kind of five-star label coming out of the transfer portal, I'll never know. I mean, he's done absolutely nothing to prove that. I mean, there's other people that have come out of the portal that weren't given the benefit of the doubt. They were judged on what they did at the previous school. He didn't do anything at USC. that really kind of showed you he was some kind of five-star player. So, and he's not, and he's kind of proving that again here in the spring. He wasn't able to lock down that job over Altmyer. So I think there is definitely some concerns there for Ole Miss from a quarterback perspective, and the defense too. I mean, they lost some big pieces on defense, but they brought in some transfer portal guys that I think can compete in the SEC at a high level. So, I mean, that's a team that I could see kind of being the sneaky number two or number three, but A&M, I guess, makes too much sense to be up there. I mean, Arkansas is going to be down, I think.
No, that's my pick to finish second.
Really?
Yeah.
They did bring in some really good pieces out of the portal.
There are some good portal pieces in. I like Pittman. I feel like he motivates his team. Obviously, their coaching staff is really good with Odom and Briles. And I just like KJ Jefferson. I think the guy's a winner. You know, I think he's got – I'm not saying he's as talented as Dak Prescott, but he's got a little Dak Prescott in him. I think he's just a winner. So I'm going to go Arkansas second in the West, then A&M, and then I'm going to have State fourth when I do my predictions. I think State is an 8-4 team at worst, or at least that's what they should be. You know, I think that they'll lose to Alabama and Georgia. Even though I guess I have LSU fourth and State fifth. Now that I think about it. So LSU for State. I think State will lose to LSU, and then Mike Leach will drop it. They will drop a game they shouldn't drop because it's Mike Leach. But 8-4, 4-4 in the conference should be good for fifth. And then I'll go Ole Miss, and then Auburn dead last, losing record. That's my West.
Yeah.
What about yours?
There's so little difference between a lot of these teams. You know, Alabama is far and away the best team, and I can see any of you know, now you talked me into Arkansas being a lot better than they were supposed to be, because I totally forgot about their transfer portal haul. They pulled in some really good players.
Yeah,
and you have your quarterback coming back, which is huge. They finally lost two of the white linebackers that they've had for the last 18 years.
Yeah, bumper.
They returned Bumper Poole. He's back for his 20th year of eligibility.
Dr. Poole, thank you.
He was on that 1998 SEC West Championship team for Mississippi State. He was on that Arkansas team.
That's right. He's on Houston Nutt's first team up there, yeah.
You know, any of those teams, A&M has the talent, and Jimbo's a good coach. It's just you just don't – there's been nothing that's really
– I don't like them at quarterback. You got to have a quarterback to win. I mean, right now,
weird thing. They've never gotten the quarterback thing figured out there.
Right.
You know, they can recruit Texas. They got a tremendous pool to choose from, and they always have these 5-stars and 4-star quarterbacks, but it never – I mean, even like all the talk about Kellen Mond, he was not good. He was not that good.
No. They haven't really had a great quarterback. I mean, Kyler Murray left them. Yeah. I mean, Kyle Allen had his moments. Kenny Hill had his moments.
Kenny Trill, baby.
Kenny Trill. Who was the guy who transferred from Oklahoma who had them undefeated and they lost here in Starkville? What was his name? Do you remember? Was it Trevor or something?
Well, I would know if you wouldn't have brought it up.
I know, right?
Trevor Knight.
Is that right?
Probably not.
It was Trevor Knight. Look at you.
He got hurt in that. He was taking way too many hits.
He was. Well, I mean,
State was popping him around. And that was a bad State team too.
They won that game.
Yeah. You know, Nick Starkle, he was going to be the next great thing. After Johnny Manziel, they just were not able to build on that. They haven't been able to find a guy. Was the closest thing.
There's three teams in the West that have their quarterback situation sorted, right? Bama, State, and Arkansas. Then there's two teams where you feel like whichever way they go, they're going to be okay at worst, right? LSU, between Daniels and Brennan, one of those guys will be able to run the offense, I feel. And then Ole Miss, between Dart and Altmyer, with Kiffin's offense, I mean, I'm just going to give them the benefit of the doubt. And then you have A&M and Auburn. Auburn, I think, Calzada, Finley, you don't have a lot going on there regardless. And then there's A&M where, I mean, Kane's King and Max Johnson. I mean, why am I intimidated by that? Why am I looking at that and saying that's a guy who can carry a team to 9-10 wins? I don't see that.
I've always been a Texas A&M hater, so to speak.
That's fair.
Because I feel like they get unnecessary hype every single year and they don't deliver.
Yeah.
The one time that they did deliver in the past 5 or 6 seasons was the COVID year when the only team they lost to was Alabama, and I thought that they should have made the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But they turn around last year and they're just meh. I mean, they beat Alabama, but they lost to Mississippi State.
They lost
to Ole Miss
and LSU.
Yeah, I mean, they just seem to find a way to underwhelm.
Yeah. Well, I mean, until you get an elite quarterback, until you have an elite quarterback, you're not going to win big. You know, and you're really not going to win without a good quarterback. But, it's just not – college football is not a sport where a quarterback who's mediocre can take a team to 9 or 10 wins. It's just not going to happen. So,
and I mean, they're getting talent in there as far as the quarterback position is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
They've been able to get some good quarterbacks in there, highly rated quarterbacks, but they're just not performing up to snuff. So,
yeah.
And you know, last year that they had some injuries, so that had something to do with it. But
we'll see if they recruited a 5-star kid in this last class, Connor Wiegman. We'll see if he's the guy. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, what's any different than any other year, you know?
Hey, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. But, I mean, you know, the number what? Let me see what he was rated here.
They got, like, the top-rated player in, like,
every position. He was the number 2 quarterback in the country, according to our friends at 24/7. So, we'll see. We'll see.
I mean, I just like the
– let's go over it real quick. My West is Bama, Arkansas, A&M, LSU, State, Ole Miss, Auburn. What's yours?
I'm not sold on LSU still.
Okay.
I could see State being – I like that order. I could see State being ahead of LSU.
Well, whoever wins that game in week 3 is going to finish ahead of the other one, I would think. Pretty simple, I think. You know,
God, this signing class by A&M was just
– It's insane.
Ridiculous. And – It's like what
such hard workers, by the way. Such hard workers.
What do we do? Like, can we please stop with the kids just want to come here? No, they don't.
Such hard work to recruit without NIL there. Fantastic work by Jimbo and staff.
5-star wideout, 5-star defensive lineman, 5-star quarterback, 5-star cornerback.
And then the rest are all.
And then you got 5-star Walter Nolan, 5-star defensive lineman. Another, they signed 4 5-star defensive linemen. 2 5-star wide receivers, a 5-star quarterback, and they brought in Max Johnson out of the transfer portal.
Yeah.
I mean, their only 3 stars are really a kicker who is that's probably one of the best kickers in the country.
Number 2 kicker in the country. And then a couple of other kids who I guess
who were on the verge of 4-star.
Yeah, I mean, and they just probably just project well for them. So.
But again, it's like we're saying, like, Max Johnson doesn't really move the needle.
No,
that's one of the guys. Like, I didn't understand. Like,
I feel like this Wiegman kid might end up winning the job.
Yeah.
So, well, we'll see. We'll see. All right, let's move on into the second half of the show. We'll talk about the SEC East. That's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council. Who want to speaking of Texas, want to remind you that beef, it's what's for dinner. When you're heading to the grocery store this week, when you're looking for something to cook for your family, beef is always a great option. Packed with nutrients, packed with protein, also delicious, and a great value. I mean, I bought some chicken wings the other day. And, Robbie, let me tell you, I might as well have bought a steak. I mean, it's basically the same price for beef versus chicken. So, I mean, right now, beef is a great value for you and your family. And, of course, it's awesome to eat. If you're looking for recipes, if you're looking for information, go to msbeef.org. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District. That's the place to find smoked Southern soul food. Looking for a great option for lunch? Looking for a great place to go for dinner? If you're just looking for a great place to hang out, Two Brothers is the place to go. Great food, great people, great times. It's all there at Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Advantage Business Systems makes it really simple for you. Great products, great service. But hey, Who doesn't promise you that? The difference is Advantage Business Systems delivers, and they really deliver when we're talking about service, because you're talking about a Mississippi company, people who put Mississippians first. You're not talking to somebody on the other side of the world. You're not talking to somebody who can't be at your business to fix your problems in a week, 10 days. You're talking about somebody who's going to be on the phone with you, speaking you know, the same language your business speaks. They're going to be talking about things that you understand. They're going to be talking about, hey, we're going to be there tomorrow. We're going to be there in a few hours. We're going to get you back up and running. Your business can't afford to wait around on other people. Make sure Advantage Business Systems is the way you go. 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. All right, let's move over to the SEC East. We already mentioned Georgia. They're going to be the runaway favorite as the defending national champion to repeat in the East. But then I feel like the race for second is as wide open as it's ever been. There's four different teams you could say, I think it's going to be them, and I wouldn't go against you. My early pick, and call me crazy, is South Carolina. I just feel like Rattler is going to turn it around, and they're going to be a tough team this year. Now, I'm not saying they're going to win 10 games or anything, but they could be an 8-win team. An 8-4, 5-3, because, you know, they'll probably lose to Clemson. That's probably good enough for second.
I'm probably going to go with Kentucky.
Kentucky is another one of those teams I'm not going to argue too much.
I'm still not ready on South Carolina. They got a couple of big wins late, but I don't know. They kind of felt like a little fluky to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's fine. I think Kentucky, in them. I don't know why.
I think Kentucky and Tennessee are going to be battling out for number two.
Mm-hmm.
I really like Tennessee under Heupel.
Is the other one.
I think Heupel's going to be really good.
And then there's Florida, right? There's Florida with new coach Anthony Richardson under center. I'm a big believer in Napier. I think that guy's a winner. I think this is a good fit for him. I think he'll recruit well there. I think he'll do well there. They could surprise this year and have a big bounce back year and go, you know, something like, I mean, you look at their schedule. I mean, they have the East teams. They have LSU, obviously, is their every year West opponent. And then, do you know off the top of your head who their other West team is?
Florida?
Yeah, I'm trying to see if I can find it here.
It
is.
Yeah, not this year.
It is. Where are they?
Is it Arkansas?
It's A&M.
A&M.
And that is on the road. So, I mean, that's not a gimme by any stretch of the imagination, but it's also a winnable game.
I think this is going to be a little rebuilding year for them.
It could be.
The system that Napier runs and what Mullen ran didn't seem all that different. So
no.
It's not going to be a system thing, I don't think. And Napier's program is not that all that different than Mullen's either. Mm-hmm. You know, they both are very similar style coaches, in my opinion.
I agree with that.
On how they ran the program, hard nosed, blue collar, developmental. So I can see that being a smooth transition.
They've got to be the only team in the SEC playing 10 Power Five opponents this year. Because two of their non-conference games, obviously they have Florida State every year, but they also play Utah this year.
Well, what about Bama?
Alabama isn't playing one of those one of those preseason games this year. So, am I wrong? I'm right. Because they just have Texas. They have Texas in week two. But then they have UL Monroe, Utah State, and Austin Peay.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah, Florida might be.
I don't know if Georgia has another game because, you know, Georgia, you got to look at the ones who
play. It should be illegal for Alabama to play those teams.
You got to look
at the teams that play. They should play a Power Five team every week. Okay.
Georgia has two because their first game is against Oregon. And obviously they finished the season with Georgia Tech. You got to look at these East schools that play another
Power Five.
You have Kentucky. Kentucky, no, they have Miami of Ohio, Youngstown State, and Northern Illinois on top of Louisville. And then
you don't see that with the West teams.
No, because none of them play a right. None of them have an annual rivalry game. against a non-SEC team. I'm looking at the other one would be South Carolina. They have Georgia State, Charlotte, and South Carolina State. So then they have the game with Clemson. So Georgia and Florida both play 10 Power 5 teams this year. Georgia, that's really no problem. Florida, that is, I mean, if you said right now make a prediction, I would tell you that I think Utah is going to beat Florida.
Yeah, they could.
So, and Florida goes to Utah next year. That'll be a heck of a game.
Florida is such a weird team right now because I don't know what to expect.
Ah, well, you know, shouldn't have fired me. Should have kept me.
They have.
I was going to turn around.
They're going to have talent. So, you know, that's not going to be an issue, but I don't think the spring was very good. There was nothing that really jumped off the page with them. So I feel like this is going to be another tough year. I mean, I could see them going like 4-4 in the SEC. So I would probably put South Carolina ahead of them right now, and then Missouri and Vandy below them. Missouri's just so boring.
They are. Missouri and Vandy are going to be picked 6-7, period. And Vandy locked in at 7. No chance to be ahead of them.
No. And, you know, Missouri's doing better recruiting-wise under Drinkwitz, but
yeah. So Florida legitimately could be 5th preseason in the West. I mean, if I told you it went, and let's just go with your second, right? But if I said it, the preseason was Georgia, Kentucky, Tennessee, South Carolina, Florida, Missouri, Vanderbilt, are you that overly surprised by that?
No, because that's who I projected.
That's how you're gonna project it then. I think I'm gonna go. Put South Carolina second, then Kentucky, Tennessee, Florida, Missouri, Vanderbilt. That's how I would go. I got a feeling on South Carolina. I got a hunch, but I'm gonna let it ride. We'll see if I'm right or wrong. But I just feel like Rattler was the preseason favorite to be the number one overall pick in the draft last year. I know the talent is there. It's just can he mentally be right?
I think we're. I'm kind of missing the hype a little bit. He lost his job at a Power 5 school.
He did, but to a really good player.
You know, it's kind of like South Carolina hiring Will Muschamp. Like, he couldn't win.
That's harsh. That's harsh.
Well, he could – just stay with me. He couldn't win at Florida. Why would we expect Will Muschamp to be any better in the same conference – at South Carolina, you know,
that's a good point. I'm not going to argue.
Rattler got lost his job. Why are we expecting him to take them to an SEC championship?
I don't think it's a talent issue with Rattler. I think it's he had. I think it was just a toxic situation for him. That's what he said.
I think that was his own doing.
But I think mentally he just wasn't in a good place there. He's got a fresh start. I think he can take advantage of it. We'll see. We'll see if I'm right or wrong. Who's your second team all SEC quarterback? Is it Will Rogers?
From a statistical standpoint, it's got to be, right?
I mean, yeah, I would agree.
I mean, is it going to be Stetson Bennett?
So this is
led the team to
an SEC championship. Right. There again, this is another one where you could say a bunch of names and I won't argue too hard against them. Bennett is one of them. You know he's going to put up good numbers.
Just because they went to the national championship.
He's a national championship quarterback. Yeah, and, of course, we're saying that Bryce Young is locked in at first team, defending Heisman Trophy winner. KJ Jefferson, you could put him there. I wouldn't argue against you on that.
Will Levis.
Levis, I might argue against you on Levis. But I mean,
I would too, but that's
he's got a lot of preseason hype. Rattler is the guy you could put in there, and I don't know. I mean, I'd be like, well, I mean, he was – very highly rated a year ago. And then there's Rogers, who I think is my choice at this time, because I mean, at the end of the day, like you mentioned stats, his numbers should be crazy. He should be pushing for 5,000 yards. He should be pushing for 40 touchdowns this season. And if he gets there, that's going to make it a pretty easy choice for him. And I think Young, his numbers will be just as good. I mean, he threw for more yards last year, although it was in, you know, two more games than Will Rogers. But he's also, I mean, he's just going to be the best. He's going to be the quarterback of a team that probably wins the national title this year. And that carries weight, regardless of what you think. Who are some other Bulldogs that you could see being first team all SEC when we do media days?
McQuiston Sharp.
Sharp is the guy who would be on that list. Yeah.
I hope Emmanuel Forbes gets some kind of hype this year.
Should. What about a guy like could
Jaden Crumley be a
Jet Johnson? I was thinking more linebackers like Jet Johnson or Bookie Watson. Could they get some love?
I doubt it.
Okay.
What
about a receiver? I mean, does Wally, you know, get consideration?
He could. There's just so many good receivers in this league.
There are, but you got to figure that somebody.
And so many good running backs. It's going to be tough for one of the running backs to get in there. I think Will Rogers.
Mark Johnson aren't getting all SEC. No chance.
I think Will Rogers is your best bet to get in there, and then maybe LaQuinston Sharp, and maybe Emmanuel Forbes.
I don't think Rogers has any chance to be first team, but he could definitely be second team. But we'll see.
Yeah.
See what happens. We'll start. Next week, we'll start with Georgia. We'll start with the national champions, and we'll give them a look, see if they're going to go undefeated again in the regular season, and see what next season will be. So that'll be our first SEC preview. We're going to do it a little differently than we did this year. I feel like we doubled up on some interviews last year. We won't do that this year, but we will talk to somebody who covers the Georgia Bulldogs and get their thoughts on their team as well. Guys, I don't want to talk any baseball today, so we're just going to get out of here. Tomorrow's the rumblings. You know what to do. Send us the questions. We'll be happy to answer them. And that'll be tomorrow's show. Looking forward to hearing what you guys want to know about. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.